WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I've been a little off the grid. I haven't shaved in a while. Trying to concert go and deal with the aftermath of big announcements out of WNST and Baltimore Positive, but we're back on the beat. Friday, we're at Union Brewing on right there in Hampton, man. Come on down. There's beer. There's going to be crab cakes. The local oyster's going to be by. Adam Benish and I are quick friends over Eddie Murray and Ed Reed Beer, so we're going to have some beverages. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, and I hope to have some Raven scratch-offs as well. I still have a few left over in my $10,000 game scratch-offs in the summer. Also sponsored by our friends at Window Nation, Goodwill. And it's a big week around here. It's restaurant week. All the restaurants pitching in all over the state. Get out, support local restaurants. And I got a guy here that I know he likes going out to dine because I've dined out with him. Leonard Raskin joins us now from Raskin Global. I've got the dark blue on here this week, working our way through. Hey, man, beat the Jets. Here come the Dolphins. It's football season. You love it. I love it. We all love it. And I'm just happy it's football season. It was a great, great weekend. I said to Bill Cole earlier, they need Tuesday night football, but don't tell them.
There you go. There you go. Well, you know, we got everything but, right? The only thing we don't have is Tuesday, Wednesday. So we've got.
There's Friday Night Lights. By the way, I had Buzz Bissinger on the show, the author of Friday Night Lights.
There you go.
Pulitzer Prize winning Buzz Bissinger.
Yeah.
Is coming on the show this week. So, yeah.
But there's no Tuesday, Wednesday football. There's Thursday night NFL. There's Friday college. There's Saturday college. Then we got Sunday, Monday. How about Thursday night Amazon Prime football? I saw that. Does that mean if you're not an Amazon subscriber, you ain't watching Thursday night football?
Yeah, I went out to Nacho Mama's on Thursday night, and I literally, we got there in time, you know, because last week was a long week, Leonard. I don't know if you know, the website, the traffic, the crash, the chat state, like all that stuff happened, right? So Thursday at the game starting, I said to my wife, let's go over to Nacho Mama's, love them, you know, I had a lot of crab cakes in August, but I did not have a birria quesadilla. So we went over there and we're watching the pregame show, right? And there's, you know, Ozzy Osbourne, there's Evan, you know, all the stuff's going on, right? And I said, it's 10 minutes to 8. Is the game like on? Like where's the game?
Right.
So we're now getting into that with football. Like when my mom, the last 15 years of my mom's life, when Angelos is printing all that money with mass in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, my wife would say, I can't find a game. My mom's 92 years old. She just wants to watch the game. Where's the game? I'm 53 and I'm thinking, do I need, let me tell you an old story. When I worked at the News American.
That's an old story.
It's an old story. 1984, 85. Okay. I answered the phones and I'll never forget. We had a guy that called every night. I swear this is true. Old man call from Highland 10 every night. He say, and I pick up the phone, sports, you know, just like it's something you see in a sitcom, sports.
Right.
And sometimes it was a cute girl from Hereford High School giving me the soccer score. And I had to say Raskin 2 goals, Smith 1 goal, you know, like that's what I did. The guy would call and he'd say, hey, this is a sport from Highland Town. Is the game on cable or regular tonight? You remember that? Cable
Absolutely.
Or regular?
Cable or regular. There you go. Now it's interweb or streaming on your phone or, you know, I'll tell you, as a season ticket holder of our Ravens, I get an email, I don't know, month ago, maybe you get this.
You are a season ticket holder.
Though. I am.
You own PSLs?
I have been since the day they got here. I did until pandemic time own 8 PSLs. I had 8. I now have 3.
Okay.
So I rid myself of 5 PSLs and tickets.
And the reason for that is, like, seriously, don't BS me. It's you and me. What is the reason? I mean, I know why I gave my PSLs up.
Yeah.
We had seats we sat in, 2 seats we didn't sit in, and we couldn't give them away. I mean, like, literally, and it became a full-time job.
Right.
Trying to get rid of tickets, and I always hated doing tickets with people.
Yeah, I do too. So one of the reasons that I got rid of them was our trip. I had a bad experience in London. I was highly annoyed at players kneeling for the national anthem for whatever reason they felt they needed to do it. And mostly, you know, I could get over some of that, but I couldn't get past the fact that they did it in London and that they were disparaging America in a foreign country. I thought that was reprehensible. And I wrote a an email to the team. And unlike your experience where they've replied to you in a way that disrespectful and ridiculous, they just didn't even reply. So I felt like, okay, this is not good.
And that's kind of shocking to me because they had a lot of pissed off people. I figured they would have, Chad Steele would have come up with some reply with their legal department and you would at least have gotten understand your concerns. We respect our players' right to whatever.
It may have been something, that's what it was. It was
something. Can we offer you two free tickets to the Pink Festival to get you back?
They offered me nothing. So it was BS. And then,
by the way, politically, I don't agree with you, right? I mean, I just don't, but I respect the fact that you bought those tickets, right?
Yep,
and I respect
yep.
the fact that you love the team. There's no disputing that you love the team, right?
No,
and there's
question.
No disputing that you love the United States of America, right?
And
I'm not going to, we make a few things differently and you love football. So and like so to I some be... degree, when you give them $12,000 a year, I don't know how much it was, right? More than that.
$24,000.
How much?
24,000. Five club seats.
Okay.
And three upstairs.
So you're a $25,000 a year customer breathe air, literally, just want an email back. Okay,
That's right.
And by the way, I never knew this, that you sent him an email.
Of course not. And then the follow-up, and this is going to sound horrible, and maybe some listeners, viewers aren't going to be happy about it, but this is my position. With the whole George Floyd, Breonna Taylor thing that went on, they came out, Steve Bisciotti, with a pretty heavy, I guess it was him, could have been Chad, could have been anybody.
No, it was Steve Bisciotti did that, made that
came
video,
out with
Black Lives Matter video.
No, the video is fine. It was the statement they put out on social media that was the players, I guess, edict, if you will, that it was like a 3-5 whatever point dissertation about their position on what was going on in our country. And quite frankly, I found it disturbing and annoying and bothersome. It said to me that white people are racist, that there's a systemic problem in our country caused by white people. And in addition to that, that the police, their statement was the police should be brought to justice. Now, I don't believe they meant brought to justice. I believe they meant prosecuted and found guilty. And to me, that's not justice. We have a country with innocent until proven guilty. And if the court system found them guilty of crimes, which in the case of Mr. Derek Chauvin, who sat on the neck of George Floyd, clearly he was found guilty in a court and he sits in a prison today. In the other case or cases that they didn't know the facts and circumstances of, I felt it premature and unnecessary to comment in the public arena as the Ravens taking a position on that. And I basically sent him a note and said, I don't remember the last time the police chief told you who to draft or how to play football. And I think you're out of your league making these comments. And they also had in there that you should consider, if I remember the wording correctly, and you can find it on social media or out in the interweb, you should consider cooperating with the police if you have an interaction. And I just thought it was disgusting. And I told him so. And again, in further annoyance, I didn't even get a canned response. I got no response. So I sold all my tickets.
Listen, the political side of the fallout in 17, it cost me money. Certain people like you that disagree with me politically seek to destroy me, as you can well imagine.
Yeah, right? And so, you know, I'm not into that.
Yeah, I mean, that's not who we are, right? I mean, it's not who we should be as people, you know?
That's right. We should be able to have a conversation. The point is, they didn't want to have any conversation. It was their statement, and they didn't care. And so I made the decision not to go to the games. And then, oddly enough, the plague came. And at that moment, I didn't have to worry about going to the games because the next year, they canceled the season on us. And so they gave me back my money. The next year was you can come or not come. They had like three people in the crowd. I didn't go and I didn't have to worry about my money. And then I set forth to sell my tickets. And to my wife's chagrin, she thought my reaction was an overreaction. She went last year. She took friends and she went to the games and I didn't. I didn't go to a single game last year. And I decided that I was going to sell my tickets. I wasn't going to go to the games. It was something that I felt I needed to do, and that's what I did.
But you still enjoy the games.
I enjoy the game, but yeah, my patronage.
So do my wife and I. I mean, we love
my patronage and the amount of money I was spending. Just I have a better use for it. So I sold everything but a couple tickets for my wife to go with friends, and she went with some friends last year to a few of the games. We sold off others and didn't go.
What's the last game you've been to? Is before the play, the playoff game?
Yeah. Before COVID. I hadn't been to a game since before COVID.
So you're going back this week, yes?
I am going to go watch the Dolphins. I've made a decision to go back to the stadium and see the opening game.
What jersey are you wearing? How many jerseys you own?
Probably a half a dozen.
Okay.
At least. I've got a signed Dwayne Starks from Tampa.
That's my guy.
Hanging out in a bar in Tampa when the team had, it was a restaurant bar. Half the place was a restaurant. Half the place was a bar. The team was in there having dinner a couple nights before the game all together. I remember so vividly, first of all, I was wearing a Starks jersey. He came up to me. He signed the jersey. So that was one from the way back.
Why'd you have a Starks jersey? That's cool. I like Dwayne.
He was a great dude. Great dude.
Dwayne's a great dude.
And Chris McAllister, you'll appreciate this off to the side. Chris McAllister was there, and the dude had to be 2.5-3-carat diamond studs in his ears.
Oh, he always wore those in his ears.
Big ones.
Yeah, that was the style.
Well, anyway, he came up. He was there. I called him over. I said, Chris, dude, my wife doesn't have earrings that big. And he goes, better step up, my friend. Better step up.
That sounds like C-Mac.
Yeah, she does now. She didn't then. That was a long time ago. 2000, right?
Yeah. Leonard Raskin's a Raskin Global. He, of course, handles money and investments and taking care of people and trying to help you envision your American dream with whatever money you have, how to save it better, how to invest it better, how to not give more of it to the government than less of it to the government.
Absolutely.
I'll let him rant on about inflation reduction and all that at some point here. But let's talk about the season and talk about the team and what your expectations are.
Yeah.
So you're going to the game. I'm not going to the game for the first time, literally ever.
Right.
I missed a game that I wanted to go to on Sunday for the first time ever. So it is a little weirder for me, but I'll tell you this, I've watched enough football on television the last couple of years that it's become a little bit more normalized in that way for me. I'll say this as a reporter, I don't see the game better on TV. I see the game better from the angle in the stadium where I can see holes breaking open, seeing things in real time, seeing substitutions come on and off the field when you really need to see the substitutions. But I'll say this, the game at home is not the worst experience in the world for all of us that have done it.
Yeah,
and there is a part
all.
Where like, you're ramping up the engines. You're going to pack the family roadster. You're going to go down. You're going to park. You're going to do the tail. You're going to get home. Traffic. There's going to be you, right?
It's a full day.
Yeah. And it's been a while, I think, since it's been really normal plague wise and like all of that.
Yeah.
The team's playing well. I thought they played well. I mean, I think there's a lot of promise on this team.
I agree. I'm concerned at left tackle. Do we give Ronnie Stanley a lot of money to?
They gave him $9 million a couple weeks ago to stick around because they can't really take the cap hit. Right.
Right. To not play. So that's kind of odd. I thought he was ready. I thought he was ready, but I'm not anywhere near the team, so I have no idea. But they look good. What I was surprised about, and I guess, look, the bottom line is you got to win. A couple weeks ago, I went out to Ohio State, Notre Dame, we talked about, and I'm not a gambling guy, so the spread doesn't matter to me. I don't know what the spread was this past weekend.
The Ravens covered, by the way.
Oh, they covered? Okay. So as I was sitting at the Notre Dame game and the spread was 17.5, I just happened to know it. I don't bet on it. And they won by 11. Some people weren't happy. I was happy because the end of the season, it's a dub. And that's all you care about. So what I saw on the game on Sunday was Lamar Jackson playing football, kind of like Lamar Jackson plays football. He looked good. His arm looked good. His feet looked good. What I was really surprised about, and maybe they're making a change, or maybe it was because we don't have the backs that we want to have in there. I didn't see a lot of RPO. I didn't see a lot of Lamar faking that handoff and holding the ball. I just saw Lamar being a quarterback. That was kind of interesting. And I thought he did a good job as a quarterback. But I thought at the end of the game, when they have 87 yards rushing, was kind of unbelievable that we had so little. But hey, They won the game.
But can you get him hit less? Can he make more plays from the pocket? Can there be maybe more incompletions, but more big explosives, as Coach Billups would say, right? I mean, they had a couple of explosives they hit on. He's throwing the ball well, accurately downfield. The strength that we've talked about, the size, the mass that he's picked up, feels like there's more confidence. They've said to him, you've done everything but stand in the pocket and do it that way some of the time. And they said that to Michael Vick 15 years ago, right? And at the end of his career, he became that, right?
He literally became that.
So did Randall Cunningham. Randall Cunningham won an MVP being that.
Hey, look, Lamar said it. Lamar said it all too well a couple years ago or whenever it was. He said, not bad for a running back, huh? So he looked damn good to me. He looked good in the pocket. He looked good. He escaped a couple times he had to. I would like to see the running game just be a little stronger so that they can obviously do a little more play action. I didn't see Mark Andrews involved a whole lot. I saw our friend likely drop a few balls he might not have shoulda. So it ain't preseason anymore, my friend. It's time to step up in the real game with the real players. And as my friends in the North Country like to say, you did just beat the Jets. So don't get all crazy.
Hey, man, Steelers are winning games. Bengals are losing games. Browns are winning games.
I was watching that game praying for a tie. My wife said at the beginning of the game, who do we want to win this? I said, we want a lot of short-term injury that doesn't knock anybody out and a tie. And what happened? TJ Watt got hurt, and they almost tied. They were 2 seconds from a tie.
The missed field goals and stuff, as I'm sitting here watching that thing go back and forth and the pendulum
swing. How many kickers were cut this week?
How many deserve to get cut? Well, listen, you talk about understanding the market, and I'll let you talk about the American dream and what you do, but when they changed the rules and had the extra point move back, that is not an automatic thing, and it became a decision. That was an interesting strategy. Hey, I had Luke on this week, and someone sent me, I think it was Mike Fleischauer, sent me a really good insider, and I know you love baseball too, and the Orioles are winding down. Yeah. They're changing the rules in baseball next year. I mean, the bases are going to be bigger, which makes the base pass smaller, trying to increase that. They got pitch clock, all right? They're stopping the shift. Which is an unnatural market correction to say we're not going to penalize guys that can't go the other way like Chris Davis.
We want more offense. You know, the thing that I've thought about, and I haven't said this to anybody that had any brain relative to this. So you'll be my first in this conversation.
You're going to try it out on me?
No, I'm going to tell you what I think. I think our friend Tony Gwynn might not have been the greatest hitter of all time that he was if the shift existed. Because they'd just put a guy every time where he hit the ball. He hit a lot of balls right in those holes where those shifts hang out. And he might have still been great, and he might have been able to wield that stick differently. But I think there's a lot of guys whose averages really suffer because of the shift. Now, the question is, I think baseball should let strategy be strategy. I have nothing against four guys in the outfield and two guys on the left side if that's what you want to do. And if the guy gets a hit, shame on your defense. I think the manager should be able to make that call. I love the shift, not because it stops things, but because it makes hitters have to be better hitters to get hits. And hey, that's what the game's about. But now they're going to say, not only can't you shift, but you can't put a guy that's on the left on the right, the guy that's on the right on the left. They got to stay on their own side. So it's kind of interesting that baseball has made this decision. I don't know. I guess they're saying we want more offense. You know, 2-1 just ain't good enough anymore.
Well, the length of the games is probably the biggest thing that they have really working against them. And the fact that they're not good at this. They're not good at marketing. I talked to Luke about this in the offseason the Ravens are going to honor Marshall Yanda, and they're going to try to sell tickets, and the Bills are going to come and pack the place 2 weeks from now. And and they only have 8 games to sell. But the Orioles, they have an offseason here where they have hope, some promise, star players, a manager that they could get behind. I mean, where are their caravans? Where are their offseason plans? What pitcher are they going to sign? What winter carnival are they going to do? What are they going to make you do? Now, you just talked about 24,000 and all your politics and all the flag and all of the all of that. But at least you're buying the tickets with the Ravens, right?
Yeah,
how can the Orioles get you to jump the fence to give them $1,200 to come down there 10 times next year?
Hey, literally, look, I'm spending a couple grand and flying out to Ohio to watch the Buckeyes play because college football out there is just a blast.
But you don't spend $22 to go down and see an Oriole game against the Tigers on a Tuesday night.
Haven't been there this season. I can watch that on TV.
You got to change that, Leonard. You know, guys like you and me and Dennis, the people I know here, we sit here and talk about football all day. We pine for football 9 months a year. And then we see a season of Oriole baseball where there's actually promise. And all of us, and we are the old white guys, right?
I mean,
not that I'm white. I'm Hispanic.
No,
don't tell anyone.
I get it.
But we are the ones that they need down there in addition, because we don't want Boog Pals bobblehead. We don't care about that stuff.
No.
We care about the experience of, I can go see Sting tonight, or I can go to my beach house in Delaware, or I can get a steak from Wise with my wife and make a baked potato and sit here with my cat and love my cat up and watch the game on television. Like, they need to figure out, and just for young people in general, to get young people involved. But my God, the fact that they haven't sucked you and me into going out there three or four times to see Adley Rutschman play yet.
Right.
Shame on them, not shame on me.
The kids are looking good. And I think one of the things you talked about, your guy calling up to say, is it on cable or regular? But let's face it, every game, this is not a thing against them because I enjoy it. Every game's on TV. That's the other thing. Back in the day, watching a game on TV was cool. You got Monday night, you got a Friday, maybe Sunday. Every game was not on TV, but
the ones that were had Brooks and Chuck, they were good.
That's,
with those nachos.
That's right.
Dan in Arlington, Chuck, I love those nachos.
Ain't that beer cold, baby.
So give me a little go ahead. You were
I was just going to say every game's on TV. I don't have to worry about it. I can find it. There was one earlier in the year. I couldn't find the game. I was like looking, where's the game? And I found it. I think it was Amazon Prime. I'm not sure. I found it that it was on, and it was on a stream, and it was the woman's game. Okay. What's her name? The gal who's doing – what's her name?
Melanie.
For the Orioles?
Melanie,
yes. Yeah. Melanie and another gal I had never seen. It was a national game. They were doing the play-by-play in color, and they had a gal in each dugout doing the commentary, the sideline, if you will. And it was the first time in history that the whole broadcast team was women. And it was on a streamer on Amazon or somewhere. And I flipped it on. And so there it was. But to me, you know, I enjoy the game. I also enjoy the fact that I can get work done in the evening, preparing for my next day or my week or whatever I need to be catching up on some reading or whatever it is, during a baseball game. You don't have to watch every minute of the game. It's not like hockey, where you got to pay attention the whole game. Baseball, maybe the pitch clock will help. Maybe I'll be able to read less. But
maybe it's for me, but my wife and I used to watch Jeopardy every night. And you remember this. But since we moved out to the country, we just do Wordle. And I say Wordle's better than Jeopardy because just one thing. We can get. And sometimes it takes 20 minutes for both of us to lose our minds in Wordle. But we've been doing Wordle over dinner. So, you know, traditions change. I used to go to Ravens games. I used to cover the team. I'm still going to be covering the team, but I'm not going to be going to the games. And
not
I'm looking
to
use that time wisely on writing new columns. Let her tell everybody a little a briefer on the market and where we are, and obviously elections coming up and all of this stuff. And, you know, you'll hear from Barry Glassman and Brooke Learman. You'll hear from Westmore. You'll hear from all these people here about elections and money and the state and where we are and inflation reduction, all of these things. When people come into you right now, when you sit them down, what do you tell them?
So right now, the biggest thing is people need to realize that you have to have a strategy and you have to stick with that strategy. Kind of like we talk about the Ravens, the Orioles, they have a plan for the season, for the game. This is being in the game. If you are an investor right now, you are in the game. I had a email a few days ago. A woman sent me an email, said, oh my God, I looked at my account statement. It's down 18% year to date. My account.
My wife did that this week, by the way. My wife,
she said,
yeah, she looked at
she
her
said, I think I want to take everything out of the market and put it on the side, put it in cash and get out. I need to talk to you. And this happens all the time. So I zipped her up. I had a few minutes. I called her. I said, tell me what's up. She said, it's down. I don't like it. I need to make a change. I said, look, this is the time this strategy pays off. You must stay. You can't go. If you go now, you lock in your losses. You never get it back. The market recovers after big downs. It has big ups. The biggest ups are almost always after the biggest downs. 1929 begot 1930 and 31. The market goes up. 73, 74, the stock market was down 40%. 75, up 50%. We got to wait. We got to hold on and watch. You got to rebalance right now. If your strategy is that you're stock and bond allocated, right now is the time to take your fixed income, buy more equities. This is what buying on sale feels like. The other thing I told her was we need to take a look at 2 years, not just this year. So year to date, her account's down 18, but last year it was up 25. So last year's up, let's say we start at 100,000 last January. So we start January 21, 100,000. End of the year, it's 125. Nobody's saying, I want to take my money out, put it on the sidelines, because it might go down.
They're saying, Leonard Raskin, you're my hero, is what they're saying at that
point. Well, they don't say that either. They expect that. See, the thing is, when the market goes up, people expect a return. When it goes down, they hate the downturn. People only like volatility on the positive side of investing.
And that's been since the first time you bought a stock for a dollar in 1985.
First time anybody ever bought a stock. It's 100 years ago plus. That's the way the world was. The tulip bulbs. People wanted tulip prices to go up, and then they went down. So we looked at her account, 100,000. It's now up to 125. Okay, so now we lose 18% of 125. We're not down to 100 again. So I said to her, over the 2 years, you're up on average 6% over the 2 years. So you got about 106-ish, give or take. From 2 years ago, the 100, 125, 106 is still ahead of what you would have had you not been in the market. And all you're doing right now when you purchase is purchasing at the price you could have gotten it 2 years ago. Now, the fact is, if somebody said to me the market went up 25%, came down 20%, and at the top I had money, I'd love it to correct 20% so I could buy back in, because I believe top's going to come again.
Well, especially
and here's
if you don't need the 100 grand. I mean, if you need the 100 grand right now because you need it, it's different.
It shouldn't have been in the first place. If you need the 100, it shouldn't be invested, and you should never invest for the next 2 weeks, 2 months, or 2 years. You should invest for the next 20 years. You should invest for the rest of your life. You should have a strategy of how you hold safe money safe. And when you hold safe money safe, what happens in the market day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year doesn't matter. And here's what I said to her in closing. I said, look, here's what I would hope for you. This can't happen, but here's what I would hope. I would hope the market would lose 50% every year. And you keep buying and buying and buying. And the day you go to retire, it triples. And all your money is worth a fortune the day you retire. Now, that's obviously never going to happen. But as a buyer and a person planning for the future, down is okay. Down is your friend. Down is buying time. It's never a time to panic. There's never a good time to panic. I'm trying to think of the words he said. Art Laffer, who was Reagan's chief economist, young at the time, now in his maybe 70s, 80s, creator of the Laffer curve, brilliant economic mind, brilliant guy, sits on the other side of the fence of you, but it doesn't matter. Brilliant economic guy says, again, I won't quote him exactly right, but one of his favorite sayings is, you never make a good decision when you panic or when you're drunk. And so when it comes to your money, the idea is to have an idea of a strategy, to stick with it, and to ride that through storms, because the other side of the storms is sunny skies. And you have to have somebody to hold your hand. So when you ask what we do, we advise on money. We mostly hold people's hands strategically for the long term, so that they're able to have their American dreams, so they're able to go to the Ravens games, so they're able to travel, so they're able to pay for their kids' college, so they're able to retire someday. So they're able to do whatever fill in the blank is that is important to them and their purpose in their life.
So they can afford Springsteen tickets next spring.
There you go. Springsteen tickets and this new subscription at the arena. How about that?
But by the way, my wife didn't know. Like, we were out and people were like, hey, I didn't get Springsteen tickets. I said to my wife, I said, no, I got a ticket in State College from a listener friend that has offered me one ticket. And I said, okay. And then I said, Leonard Raskin got me a two, you know, he offered to me. And she wondered whether it was how much a ticket's for.
They were.
She said,
should
I even ask? And I'm like,
they were foreign change for face. From the sale and on the day of, foreign change.
But you
and
have I got to be him. There, right? I mean, we didn't go to McCartney, right?
I missed McCartney. I would have gone to McCartney. I had a chance, obviously, to get those tickets, too. I could have gotten them, had them. but I was otherwise occupied with the Queen.
Well, who, listen, he was a little out of key now, that night. I mean, I'm not
really
criticizing.
I didn't hear about it.
He was 80. I was, you know, I mean, it's
yeah,
okay.
Right.
It's
Paul, hey, look, you know? Look. A month before that, I saw Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey rock it out at 80. They crushed it at 79. And I saw a picture. Hey, I saw a picture just a day or so ago of Keith Richards changing the Queen's diaper.
Okay. So hang on a second, because I'm going to let you go because you have to go invest money and help people out. But you just said the Who to me. I want you to see my newest belt buckle. You ready?
Okay. There we go.
I just got it this week. You ready?
There we go.
Here it comes. Here it comes. Let's see.
Can we get it?
That's Sir Roger.
Kind of shiny.
That's Sir Roger. It's Sir Roger riding the horse. You see that?
Riding the horse. I see it.
There it is, man. 1976 Pacifica right there on the back.
That's
so I collect these weird things, you know? I mean, we all have weird little idiosyncrasies. Leonard Raskin collects great memories and great stories. He's spent the summer in Europe and running around with his kid out in Ohio State. But he's settling down now and going back to Ravens games. Dolphins in town this week. Then we got the Patriots next week. Luke's out in Owings Mills today, tomorrow, every day. By force or by trade, we're sending Luke Jones out to cover all things Ravens. All of it, of course, brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms, real fresh, real fast, and the Justin Tucker commercials as well. Raskin Global exists at raskinglobal.com. Leonard will be happy to take you in, chat with you, speak some sense to you, even if it doesn't make any sense to you. It didn't to me in the beginning either. He will be there to help you out and be here each and every week. And pretty soon I'll get your little cartoon back up at Baltimore Positive. I want to apologize to do you have any questions on the Raven thing, or are we good? Because people are like, your sponsors. I said, my sponsors have known about this for a year.
Yeah, no. Hey, I'm just stunned. I read the novel and I didn't know how much longer it was going to go, but I kept reading. It was compelling.
Well, then I must have kept you in. I must be a professional writer.
There you go. And I just found the story. What's the word I would say?
Business as usual?
No, I would say surprising, but not. No, unexpected, but not surprising. How about that? How's that?
You think this is the way the NFL operates? This is. Yeah, I mean, they took our franchise in 1984.
Yeah, right. They don't care.
Like to think that there's any dignity involved or really accountability. I mean, they are too big to fail, right?
That's exactly. Well, they're just too big. They're just too big. They got no competition. They got monopoly power, and they can do what they want. And what's really disturbing is that there's no hard press asking them questions about it. Because I think
there
the people, because the people
no,
that
I,
are still—that's
the point. I'm the last local.
No.
It's
but
ESPN,
my point is
the New York
that
Times
are
and,
there aren't going to ask for fear of being blackballed and shut out. And this is what's going on around the country, sadly, to a lot of people whose opinions don't conform with their corporate bosses, whether it be in the media, politics. A lot of people
down. He's not the first PR guy to try to shake me down. Like every time I sit with a politician, I have to say, I said to Wes Moore, you'd be proud of me, and he would admit this. I said, I'm not here kissing your ass today. I said, right. Like literally before I hit the buttons, we had a little go, not a go, because I like Wes a lot and he likes me a lot. But I was just sort of like, I want to let you know before we get going, your PR people. I didn't hand them the questions because that's just not the way my show works. And everybody who's ever been on my show understands that. I've been sideways.
Have you had Dan Cox on?
Look, I've been sideways with Johnny O's guy, Sean. He and I get sideways all the time just about the PR side of, dude, like I'm not handing you the questions. And I've gotten sideways with many PR people about that because in 2022, there's some level set of expectation of you're going to allow me or disallow me to ask a question, which is insane.
Unacceptable. And the media, I don't think the hard media is as hard as they used to be, of course. I think a lot of people in the media, unfortunately, want to make a name for themselves and click so they can write a book about their experiences. And as a result, they're afraid or choose not to ask hard questions of people that need to be asked hard questions.
Leonard, you've known me a long time. You've listened as a fan, but now you know me and our money and our investment, like all that and crab feast and golf tour and stuff like that. I think you realize that there's no way I could come on here and do this every day ever again if I didn't speak the truth, right? Like, right. There would be no purpose in me being here.
That's
if
exactly
I
right.
weren't asking hard questions and speaking truth to everyone. Hey. And I love Baltimore Positive, and you hold me accountable, and you're way on the other side of the political design than I am. But I think you want me down asking Brandon Scott. Maybe they might not be the same questions you're going to ask or go about it. But do you want me sitting with the police commissioner in the city and holding him accountable? I've been doing that all along. Why shouldn't I be holding the Ravens accountable? And why should I accept being treated like garbage by a football team that I've supported for? Like, and do it quietly. I'm not going to do that. And you know that.
See, I did mine. I did mine quietly. I didn't get what I wanted. And I voted with my dollars and my presence.
Hey, listen, I went out there in April and got berated. And I didn't go on social media and say, guess what happened to me today? Yeah. I went to the owner and said, hey, I don't, this isn't cool.
Right.
What's wrong with you people? You know,
the fact
like,
is they,
like,
they followed down that path and they tried to can't, they're going to try to cancel you out. And it's ridiculous.
That's not going to work. As long as I'm breathing, I'm not getting canceled at this point.
That's right. Well, see, the thing is, you got to have the ability to not let the cancellation cancel you. You know, if and I hate to say it, and I'm not going to do it, certainly because of them. It would be other reasons. It wouldn't be them. But your sponsors standing by you is critical to being able to say what you say and not worry about what you say. There are lots of places out there where sponsors get spooked at the first sight of controversy for something they put their money to and run. And when that happens, that's how they cancel you.
And that's how free speech gets quelled. And that's what screws up.
That's exactly right. And I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. That's a fact. And when that happens, it's scary, depending upon who does it. When it's a corporate, do it. You got to realize how heavy that is. If it's the government doing it, it's even worse.
How about this, though? I'm sitting next to Wes Moore, holding him accountable. I'm sitting next to Pam Wood, holding her accountable, who holds them accountable. And then a week later, I'm going to let Chad Steele slide? Dude, stop. You know what I mean?
Not going to be.
That's not going to happen. Leonard Raskin is here.
Right.
He is Raskin Global. He has stood by me, and I'm appreciative. He'll stand by you, too, and give you good advice and always treat you right. If you're out of Raskin Global, you can find him. You'll find him at Baltimore Positive and find him probably having a crab cake and a beer with me somewhere along life's journey. By the way, I got some fun for you. Ready? So the Ravens screw me. I can't go to New Jersey and sit in the rain and do 8 hours up and back and pay the tolls and do all that stuff anyway. And Luke drives across Pennsylvania anyway. So we wouldn't even been in the same car. So, but interesting. So I don't get to go to that. So I wound up going to Styx at the Timonium Fair. So I'm looking like, well, look at all the things I get to do because I'm getting screwed by the Ravens and Chad Steele. So I go to the Styx show. We're there, you know, it's after the game, the Ravens have won. Everybody's coming up to me like my mother died. Basically, they've all read all 18,000 words of my missive.
Sure.
And they're coming up. The lady next to me says, I know who you are. I follow you online. I just want you to know, I'm the manager at Rock Salt Grill. And like, we had a guy come in the other day, said he was listening in the car and he drove right over here because he was listening to you. And I'm like, you're not even a sponsor and I'm helping you sell crap.
That's it. There you go.
Salt thing and getting out in the community. I mean, all of those things matter. It was good seeing you out in Westminster. It feels like about a year ago that we got together in Westminster. We're going to have to do it again. Leonard Raskin, Raskin Global here, the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery, Goodwill, Wind Donation, and most importantly, at least for this week, the Restaurant Association of Maryland and Restaurant Week. Get out, support them. Leonard, get out, eat some dinner. Take your wife to dinner.
There we go. Crabs. That's what we got to do. We got to do
crab feast as well. Leonard Raskin. Find him at RaskinGlobal.com. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And if anybody sees Ron West, Ron Sikowski, tell him he can borrow my adultery belt if he wants it. We're BaltimorePositive.com. Stay with us.